This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Cynthia Lyons, Naperville, Illinois. Beowulf, translated by Francis Barton Gumere, Section 25. Under harness his heart then is hit indeed by sharpest shafts, and no shelter avails from foul behest of the hellish fiend. Him seems too little what long he possessed. Greedy and grim, no golden rings he gives for his pride. The promised future forgets he and spurns with all God has sent him. Wonder-wielder of wealth and fame, yet in the end it ever comes that the frame of the body fragile yields, fated falls, and there follows another who joyously the jewels divides, the royal riches, nor recks of his forbear. Ban, then, such baleful thoughts, Beowulf, dearest, best of men, and the better part choose. Prophet eternal, and temper thy pride, warrior famous, the flower of thy might last now a while, but ere long it shall be that sickness or sword thy strength shall minish, or fang of fire, or flooding billow, or bite of blade, or brandished spear, or odious age, or the eye's clear beam wax dull and darken. Death, even thee, in haste shall overwhelm, thou hero of war. So the Ringdanes these half years 100 I ruled, wielded neath welkin and warded them bravely, from mighty ones many o'er middle earth, from spear and sword, till it seemed for me no foe could be found under fold of the sky. Lo, sudden the shift! To me, seated secure, came grief for joy when Grendel began to harry my home, the hellish foe. For those ruthless raids, unresting, I suffered heart sorrow heavy. Heaven be thanked, Lord eternal, for life extended, that I on this head all hewn and bloody, after long evil, with eyes may gaze. Go to the bench now, be glad at banquet, warrior worthy. A wealth of treasure at dawn of day be dealt between us. Glad was the Geats' lord, going betimes, to seek his seat as the sage commanded, afresh as before, for the famed in-battle, for the band of the hall was a banquet dight nobly anew. The night helm darkened, dust o'er the drinkers. The doughty ones rose, for the hoary-headed would hasten to rest. Aged Schulding, and eager the Geat, shield-fighter sturdy, for sleeping yearned. Him wander-weary, warrior-guest, from far, a hall-thane heralded forth, who by custom courtly cared for all, needs of a thane as in those of old days warrior wanderers wont to have. So slumbered the stout heart. Stately the hall rose gabled in gilt where the guests slept on, till a raven black the rapture of heaven blithe heart boded. Bright came flying shine after shadow. The swordsmen hastened. Athlings all were eager homeward, forth to fare, and far from thence, the great-hearted guest would guide his keel. Bade then the hardy ones hunting be brought to the son of Echlaf. The sword bade him take excellent iron, and uttered his thanks for it. Quoth that he counted it keen in battle, war-friend winsome, with words he slandered not, edge of the blade. 'Twas a big-hearted man, Now eager for parting and armed at point, warriors waited, while went to his host that darling of Danes, the doughty Atheling, to high seat hastened and Hrothgar greeted. Beowulf spoke, "Bairn of Ecgtheow, lo, we seafarers say our will, far come men, that we fain would seek Hygelac now. We here have found hosts to our heart. Thou hast harbored us well. If ever on earth I am able to win me more of thy love, O Lord of men, aught anew, than I now have done, for work of war I am willing still. If it come to me ever across the seas, that neighbor foemen annoy and fright thee, as they that hate thee erewhile have used, thousands then of thanes I shall bring, heroes to help thee. Of Hygelac I know, ward of his folk, that, though few his years, the Lord of the Geats will give me aid by word and by work, that well I may serve thee, wielding the war-wood to win thy triumph, and lending thee might when thou lackest men. If thy Hrethric should come to court of Geats, a sovereign son, he will surely there find his friends. A far-off land each man should visit who vaunts him brave." Him then answering, Hrothgar spake, "These words of thine the wisest god sent to thy soul. No sager counsel from so young in years e'er yet have I heard. Thou art strong of mien, and in mind art wary, art wise in words. I ween indeed, if ever it hap that Hrethel's heir by spear be seized, by sword grim battle, by illness or iron, thine elder and lord, people's leader, and life be thine, no seemlier man will the sea-gates find at all to choose for their chief and king. For hoard-god of heroes, if hold thou wilt thy kinsman's kingdom, thy keen mind pleases me the longer the better Beowulf loved. Thou hast brought it about that both our peoples, sons of the Geat and Spear-Dane folk, shall have mutual peace and from murderous strife such as once they waged from war refrain. Long as I rule this realm so wide, let our hordes be common, let heroes with gold each other greet o'er the Gannet's bath, and the ring prow bear o'er rolling waves, tokens of love. I true my landfolk toward friend and foe are firmly joined, and honor they keep in the olden way." To him in the hall then Halfdane's son gave treasures 12, and the trust of earls bade him fare with the gifts to his folk beloved, hail to his home, and in haste return. Then kissed the king of kin renowned, the Scyldings' chieftain, that choicest thane, and fell on his neck. Fast flowed the tears of the hoary-headed, heavy with winters. He had chances twain, but he clung to this, that each should look on the other again, and hear him in hall. Was this hero so dear to him, his breast's wild billows he banned in vain, safe in his soul a secret longing, locked in his mind, for that loved man burned in his blood. Then Beowulf strode, glad of his gold gifts, the grass-plot o'er, warrior blithe, the wave-roamer bowed, riding at anchor, its owner awaiting. As they hastened onward, Hrothgar's gift they lauded at length. 'Twas a lord unpeered, every way blameless, till age had broken, it spareth no mortal his splendid might. came now to Ocean the ever-courageous hardy henchmen, their harness-bearing, woven war-socks. The warden marked, trusty as ever, the earl's return. From the height of the hill no hostile words reached the guests as he rode to greet them, but welcome, he called, to that weather clan as the sheen-mailed spoilers to ship marched on. Then on the strand, with steeds and treasure and armor, their roomy and ring-dight ship was heavily laden. High its mast rose over Hrothgar's hoarded gems. A sword to the boat-guard Beowulf gave, mounted with gold. On the mead-bench since he was better esteemed, that blade-possessing heirloom old. Their ocean-keel boarding, they drove through the deep and Daneland left. A sea-cloth was set, a sail with ropes, firm to the mast. The flood-timbers moaned, nor did wind over billows that wave-swimmer blow across from her course. The craft sped on, foam-necked it floated forth o'er the waves, keel firm-bound over briny currents, till they got them sight of the Geatish cliffs, home-known headlands. High the boat, stirred by winds, on the strand updrove. Helpful at haven the harbor guards stood, who long already for loved companions by the water had waited and watched afar. He bound to the beach the broad-bosomed ship with anchor bands, lest ocean billows that trusty timber should tear away. Then Beowulf bade them bear the treasure, gold and jewels. No journey far was it thence to go to the giver of rings. Hygelac Hrethling, at home he dwelt by the sea-wall close, himself and clan, haughty that house, a hero the king, high the hall, and higged, right young, wise and wary, though winters few in those fortress walls she had found a home, Hareth's daughter. Nor humble her ways, nor grudged she gifts to the Geatish men of precious treasure. Not Thrith's pride showed she, folk-queen famed, or that fell deceit. Was none so daring that durst make bold, save her lord alone, of the liegeman dear, that lady full in the face to look, but forged fetters he found his lot, bonds of death, and brief the respite. Soon as they seized him, his sword doom was spoken, and the burnished blade a baleful murder proclaimed and closed. No queenly way for woman to practice, though peerless she, that the weaver of peace from warrior dear by wrath and lying his life should reave. But Hemming's kinsman hindered this. For over their ale men also told that of these folk horrors fewer she wrought, onslaughts of evil after she went, gold-decked bride, to the brave young prince, Atheling haughty, and Offa's hall, o'er the fallow flood at her father's bidding, safely sought where since she prospered, royal, throned, rich in goods, fain of the fair life fate had sent her, and leal in love to the lord of warriors. He of all heroes I heard of ever from sea to sea, of the sons of earth, most excellent seemed. Hence Offa was praised for his fighting and feeing by far-off men. The spear-bold warrior, wisely he ruled over his empire. Ymir woke to him, help of heroes, Hemming's kinsman, grandson of Garmund, grim in war. Hasten the hardy one, henchmen with him, sandy strand of the sea to tread and widespread ways. The world's great candle, sun shone from south. They strode along with sturdy steps to the spot they knew where the battle king young, his burg within, slayer of Ungantho, shared the rings, shelter of heroes. To Hygelac, Beowulf's coming was quickly told, that there in the court the clansmen's refuge, the shield companions sound and alive, hail from the hero play homeward strode, with haste in the hall by highest order. Room for the rovers was readily made. By his sovereign he sat, come safe from battle, kinsman by kinsman. His kindly lord he first had greeted in gracious form with manly words. The mead dispensing came through the high hall Haereth's daughter, winsome to warriors, wine cup bore to the hands of the heroes. Hygelac then his comrade fairly with question plied in the lofty hall, sore longing to know what manner of sojourn the sea geats made. What came of thy quest, my kinsman Beowulf, when thy yearning suddenly swept thee yonder, battle to seek o'er the briny sea, combat in Heorot? Hrothgar, couldst thou aid at all the honored chief in his wide-known woes? With waves of care my sad heart seethed, I sore mistrusted my loved one's venture. Long I begged thee by no means to seek that slaughtering monster, but suffer the South Danes to settle their feud themselves with Grendel. Now God be thanked that safe and sound I can see thee now. Beowulf spake, the bairn of Egthou. 'Tis known and unhidden, Hygelac lord, to many men, that meeting of ours, struggle grim between Grendel and me, which we fought on the field where full too many sorrows he wrought for the Scylding victors, evils unending. These all I avenged. No boast can be from breed of Grendel, any on earth, for that uproar at dawn from the longest-lived of the loathsome race in fleshly fold. But first I went Hrothgar to greet in the hall of gifts, where Halfdane's kinsman high-renowned stood as my purpose was plain to him, assigned me a seat by his son and heir. The liegemen were lusty, my life-days never such merry men over mead in hall have I heard under heaven. The high-born queen, people's peace-bringer, passed through the hall, cheered the young clansmen, clasps of gold, ere she sought her seat, to sundry gave. Off to the heroes, Hrothgar's daughter, to earls in turn, the ale-cup tendered, she whom I heard these hall companions Freawaru name, when fretted gold she proffered the warriors. Promised is she, gold-decked maid, to the glad son of Froda, sage this seems to the Scylding's friends, kingdom's keeper. He counts it wise the woman to wed so and ward off feud, store of slaughter. But seldom ever, when men are slain, does the murder speak sink but briefest while, though the bride be fair. Nor haply will like it the Heathobard lord, and as little each of his liegemen all, when a thane of the Danes in that doughty throng goes with a lady along their hall, and on him the old-time heirlooms glisten hard and ring-decked. Heathobard's treasure, weapons that once they wielded fair, until they lost it at the linden play, liegemen leal and their lives as well. Then over the ale on this heirloom gazing, some ash-wielder old who has all in mind that spear-death of men. He is stern of mood, heavy of heart. In the hero young tests the temper and tries the soul, and war-hate wakens with words like these. Canst thou not, comrade, ken that sword which to the fray thy father carried in his final feud, neath the fighting mask, dearest of blades, when the Danish slew him, and wielded the war-place on Withergild's fall, after havoc of heroes, those hardy Scyldings. Now the son of a certain slaughtering Dane, proud of his treasure, paces this hall, joys in the killing, and carries the jewel that rightfully ought to be owned by thee. Thus he urges and eggs him all the time with keenest words, till occasion offers that Freawaru's thane for his father's deed, after bite of brand in his blood must slumber, losing his life, but that liegeman flies living away for the land he kens, and thus be broken on both their sides oaths of the earls, when Ingeld's breast wells with war-hate, and wife-love now, after the care-billows, cooler grows. So I hold not high the Heathobard's faith due to the Danes, or their during love and pact of peace. But I pass from that. Turning to Grendel, O giver of treasure, and saying in full now how the fight resulted, handfray of heroes, when heaven's jewel had fled o'er far fields, that fierce sprite came, night foe savage, to seek us out, where safe and sound we sentried the hall. To Honshu then was that harassing deadly, his fall there was fated. He first was slain, girded warrior. Grendel on him turned murderous mouth, on our mighty kinsmen, and all of the brave's man body devoured. Yet none the earlier, empty-handed, would the bloody-tooth murderer, mindful of bale, outward go from the gold-decked hall. But me he attacked in his terror of might, with greedy hand grasped me. A glove hung by him, wide and wondrous, wound with bands, and in artful wise it was all wrought by devilish craft of dragon skins. Me therein, an innocent man, the fiendish foe was fain to thrust with many another. He might not so, when I all angrily upright stood. 'Twere long to relate how that land-destroyer I paid in kind for his cruel deeds. Yet there, my prince, this people of thine got fame by my fighting. He fled away, and a little space his life preserved. But there stayed behind him his stronger hand, left in Heorot, heartsick thence, on the floor of the ocean that outcast fell. Me for this struggle the Scylding's friend paid in plenty with plates of gold, with many a treasure, when morn had come and we all at the banquet board sat down. Then was song and glee. The gray-haired Scylding, much tested, told of the times of yore, whilst the hero his harp bestirred, wood of delight, now lays he chanted of sooth and sadness, or set aright legends of wonder, the wide-hearted king. Or for years of his youth he would yearn at times for strength of old struggles, now stricken with age, hoary hero, his heart surged full, when wise with winters he wailed their flight. Thus in the hall the whole of that day at ease we feasted, till fell o'er earth another night. Anon full ready, in greed of vengeance, Grendel's mother set forth all doleful. Dead was her son, through war-hate of wedders, now woman monstrous, with fury fell a foeman she slew, avenging her offspring. From Asher old, loyal counselor, life was gone. Nor might they even, when morning broke, those Danish people, their death-done comrade burn with brands, on balefire lay the man they mourned. Under mountain stream she had carried the corpse with cruel hands. For Hrothgar, that was the heaviest sorrow of all that had laden the lord of his folk. The leader then, by thy life, besought me, sad was his soul, in the sea-waves coil, to play the hero and hazard my being for glory of prowess. My guerdon he pledged. I then in the waters, 'tis widely known, that sea-floor guardian savage found. Hand to hand, there a while we struggled. Billows welled blood. In the briny hall her head I hewed with a hardy blade from Grendel's mother, and gained my life, though not without danger. My doom was not yet. Then the haven of heroes, Halfdane's son, gave me in guerdon great gifts of price. So held this king to the customs old, that I wanted for naught in the wage I gained. The meed of my might, he made me gifts, Halfdane's heir, for my own disposal. Now to thee, my prince, I proffer them all, gladly give them. Thy grace alone can find me favor. Few indeed have I of kinsmen, save Hygelac, thee. Then he bade them bear him the boar-head standard in battle-helm high, and breastplate gray, the splendid sword. Then spake in form, me this war-gear the wise old prince Hrothgar gave, and his hest he added, that its story be straightway said to thee. A while it was held by Heorogar king, for long-time lord of the land of Scyldings, yet not to his son the sovereign left it, to daring Heorward, dear as he was to him, his harness of battle. Well hold thou it all. And I heard that soon passed o'er the path of this treasure, all apple fallow, four good steeds, each like the others, arms and horses he gave to the king. So should kinsmen be, not weave one another the net of wiles, or with deep-hid treachery death contrive for neighbor and comrade. His nephew was ever by hardy Hygelac held full dear, and each kept watch o'er the other's weal. I heard, too, the necklace to Hygd he presented, wonder-wrought treasure, which Walthau gave him, sovereign's daughter. Three steeds he added, slender and saddle-gay. Since such gift, the gem gleamed bright on the breast of the queen. Thus showed his strain the son of Edgthau, as a man remarked for mighty deeds and acts of honor. At ale he slew not comrade or kin, nor cruel his mood, though of sons of earth his strength was greatest, a glorious gift that God had sent the splendid leader. Long was he spurned and worthless by Geatish warriors held. Him at mead the master of clans failed full oft to favor at all. Slack and shiftless the strong men deemed him profitless prince. But payment came to the warrior honored for all his woes. Then the bulwark of earls, bade bring within hardy chieftain, Hrethel's heirloom garnished with gold, no Geat e'er knew in shape of a sword a statelier prize. The brand he laid in Beowulf's lap, and of hides assigned him 7,000 with house and high seat. They held in common land alike by their line of birth, inheritance, home, but higher the king because of his rule over the realm itself. Now further it fell with the flight of years, with harryings horrid, that Hygelac perished, and Heardred too, by hewing of swords under the shield wall slaughtered lay, when him at the van of his victor folk sought hardy heroes, Heatho-Scilfings, in arms o'erwhelming Hereric's nephew. Then Beowulf came as king this broad realm to wield, and he ruled it well 50 winters, a wise old prince warding his land, until one began in the dark of night a dragon to rage. In the grave on the hill a hoard it guarded, in the stone barrow steep a straight path reached it unknown to mortals. Some man, however, came by chance that cave within to the heathen hoard. In hand he took a golden goblet, nor gave he it back, stole with it away while the watcher slept by thievish wiles, for the warden's wrath prince and people must pay betimes. End of section 29.